I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama always said I'd be the chosen one.
Half of the governors of the United States have joined with Texas in our cause to make sure states can do everything possible to secure our border. Half of the governors that have joined the cause to support Texas are joining us at this event today. And we are here to send a loud and clear message that we are banding together to fight to ensure that we will be able to maintain our constitutional guarantee that states will be able to defend against any type of imminent danger or an invasion. That has been threatened by Joe Biden and his abject refusal to enforce the immigration laws of the United States of America.
Amen, amen. Texas Governor Greg Abbott. And we're going to break down more of that. And, of course, we have now the Senate releasing its bill, 300-plus pages, I think 380, something like that. And they, Senator Schumer says, we're going to get it to the floor for a vote maybe by Wednesday. He's going to need 60 to get it through, and not sure he's going to have it. But he does have some compliant, weak-kneed Republicans buying into it. But he also has some Democrats who are saying, I'm not going to vote for that. That would be basically my words, not theirs. That would be suicide for this nation. We're already at that point. And yet they want to proclaim this is the best bill ever. Ever. I don't know what they're drinking or smoking up there in D.C., but somebody needs to either market it or get it out of there. All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are, the second hour of two of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back for you, Monday through Friday, right here, from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video for you. Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, or Newstalk STL, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, and YouTube. And I don't care which platform you choose, make it available for yourself. And pull it up and listen as you choose. And if you miss anything or you want to go back and find it later, you can find them as podcasts, video and or audio podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. We make it real easy. And when you do listen, either reviewing something or catching up on it for the first time, because I know you have a lot of other things going on in your life. I'm not dismissing any of that. I always believe family first. If you're out there trying to provide for your family, that's your priority. But when you have time and you do listen or watch or both, please share with others. Cost you nothing, push that share button. And in fact, for that matter, you can subscribe. No cost, absolutely free to you. And this information is critical more than ever right now because of what we're facing at our border, what this Biden administration has done with our nation, invading it basically, with many coming here under false pretense of asylum, but we won't really be able to adjudicate if it's real or not for 6, 8, 10 years down the road when their court date surfaces. And by then, assuming we can locate them, we may decide, yeah, no, you didn't have a real reason to come here. But by then, now you've had 2 or 3 babies, and they're now American citizens. I will repeat again, I'm all about helping those in need. I really am. But we can't just allow everyone to come into this country, and especially unvetted the way we're doing it now. We have no idea who these people are. Unless we just happen to find some DNA or something that would cross match and say, no, this one is on a terrorist watch list. And we're letting them in anyway. Governor Abbott will give you an example in a few moments. But he gathered at the border with other governors who have said, we're going to also help you. We'll be sending National Guard troops down possibly to help you. Governor DeSantis has already said that. But along with Governor Abbott, Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, Idaho Governor Brad Little, Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry, Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, Missouri Governor Parson, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, Nebraska Governor Jill Pillen, New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee, Utah Governor Spencer Cox. As he said, half of our nation's governors are down here supporting it, because what we're doing here is vital for the entire nation. And in fact, they want to talk about more bills, more authorization, and this new Senate bill that is being trying to shove down everybody's throat, mainly between you and me, mainly to get more money into Ukraine. That's what it is. I'll break it down for you later. But let's go back to the overall picture to protect our country. It doesn't. And in fact, Governor Abbott says, you want to protect our country? Start with the Constitution.
The laws of the United States passed by Congress, they require the president to deny illegal entry. To the contrary of denying illegal entry, he has aided and abetted that illegal entry. If somebody makes it across the border illegally, the president has the responsibility imposed by Congress to detain any illegal immigrant who has come here. As opposed to detaining any illegal immigrant, Biden instead has let them all loose across the entire country with no ability to accurately determine their whereabouts or what they may be doing. Because of this, we've seen the catastrophic consequences of Joe Biden's open border policies. Over the tenure of Joe Biden, we've had three Houstons cross the border illegally. All-time records. And we see the dangers every single day.
When Governor Abbott says we have seen the equivalent of three Houstons, you take the population of Houston, multiply it by three, and actually that is under the number that we assume have come in, much less the gotaways. The last census report showed Houston, Texas at 2.3 million. Let me do some ciphering. 2.3 times 3, times mark 3, times 3, 9, nothing to carry. The decimal, 3 times 2, 6. That's just under 7 million, am I right? Yes, Larry, your ciphering stands perfect this time. And we're sure it's bigger than that. Have you been to Houston? It is now considered the fourth largest city in the nation. You got New York, Los Angeles, and then probably a race between, I don't know, Detroit, Pennsylvania. I had something in front of me, but I could care less who really is. I really think Houston is third, but let them do what they want. Which, by the way, landmass is also big, because unless they've changed the codes, the ordinance, every year the city of Houston was allowed to annex unincorporated property outside the city limits. Yeah, people move out of Houston city limits. I don't want to be part of Houston anymore. They move outside maybe 10 miles. 3 years later, they're suddenly back in Houston. They didn't change their address. The city came and got them. And for many times, it's been under Democrat leadership. And talk about these who are evading. We know many come across at night. They don't want to be caught. As you heard him say, they don't want to be. And I'm going to let you hear more from him on that point in a minute. But let me give you an example. Even CNN and NN documented as to how these guys are doing this. I'm wondering who in the hell is being called to the floor of CNN and basically told to bend over and take what you have coming because you dared do this story. His name would be David Culver and Norma Galliano. It's titled, Migrant Smugglers Try to Evade U.S. Officials on Jet Skis. Now, we know the issue along the Rio Grande, where Texas is. If you're going to go into Texas, you've got to cross the Rio Grande. Other states, you can just simply walk across, unless there's a fence. And they've got appointed ports of entry, but you can avoid those. So the dateline for this is San Diego. And said the roar of a motor ripped Jack Enright's attention away from the waves he was videoing under a cloudless blue sky. He yanked his camera out of the ocean to refocus on whatever was speeding toward him. He said, I thought it was just a fishing boat. Then I saw it flooring it towards the shoreline. Looked like it was literally coming right at me. You could hear it flying up on the beach and hitting the sand. All this taking about 10 a.m. last week. And then several people jumping out over the side and sprinting toward the luxury beachside homes in La Jolla, north of San Diego. He said, I've lived my whole life in Southern California. I counted at least 8 or 10. And he said, that is apparently happening more and more often. I just happened to document this one. And Governor Abbott again says, keep in mind those who are coming into this country under claims of, help me, I need asylum. I'm only going to come here to do good for you and your country.
The Texas Department of Public Safety, they arrested an MS-13 gang member who was on the terrorist watch list. Know this. There are people on the terrorist watch list that are apprehended all the time coming across the border. These are people who pay extra money not to be caught. The United States of America and the president do not know how many people have crossed the border illegally who are on the terrorist watch list and have never been seen. They do not know the imminent dangers that we may be facing.
For instance, how many of those aboard that boat that ran ashore near San Diego might be on a terrorist watch list? I could speculate. I don't know. But as easy as it is to just simply walk across the border and say, here I am, process me so I can roam about the country, why would they go through this? Because they don't want to be detected. And maybe they're carrying more fentanyl. And maybe they're smuggling children. I'm looking at a piece written by Margot Cleveland for The Federalist. And she said, maybe Congress, with this latest bill out of the Senate, wants to open America to every citizen of the world who comes from a country where the government cannot control crime, which is the conclusion that follows from the Biden administration's all-inclusive reading of the statutory, quote, membership in a particular social group language. If so, Congress should say so. But if not, Congress should make it clear asylum provides a safe haven for those persecuted by their government for race, religion, sex, political views, and whatever specific classifications deemed appropriate. And then she adds, the irony here is that the Biden administration's reversal of the Trump policies has fortified the funding of cartels, gangs, and traffickers. And if non-gang members qualify as a social group, it'll be asylum for everyone. And then she asks, is that what Congress believes is appropriate? We don't know because the cowards prefer to leave it to the administrative state. The Senate bill proves that. I'm going to get into that Senate bill in more detail before this hour is over. And when you hear some of the details of it, you're going to sit there and say, why are we even discussing that this might be an answer? It is not an answer. So more on the Senate immigration bill coming up. But first, the latest on how the U.S. is responding to terrorist attacks. GO Speaker Mike Johnson says, we are still missing the target.
We need to make absolutely clear to Iran that nothing is off the table. You know, we maintain peace through strength. That was the Reagan doctrine. That's what President Trump continued, and that's what we have to do right now. We should not be appeasing Iran. That's what the Biden administration has been doing for the last 3 years. We are projecting weakness on the world stage, and frankly, Kristen, that is why our adversaries are acting so provocatively. What we need to be doing right now is turning up the heat on Iran. We need to act to decimate the Iran Central Bank, the assets that they've held there. We need to lean on international banks to seize the assets of Iranian proxies. We need to put big-time pressure, maximum pressure, on their oil exports.
In other words, we could be doing this. We could have already been doing this. We could have been doing it since October 7 happened. Without firing a missile, we could have begun immediately shutting off ships leaving Iran with oil headed to China. or Russia, or wherever they, Venezuela, where they might be going, not Venezuela, but wherever they might be going. We could have, but we didn't. And so Iran said, they're not going to do anything. We just continue doing business. And in fact, the one thing we did do reference what assets we had control of, that $60 billion, remember Biden unfreezing that so they can have it? And then October 7 happened, and immediately folks were saying, you cannot give them that money. You can't give them that money. And they backed off, but I'm not sure it's totally shut down yet. But that $60 billion, that is just pennies dropped on the floor when you're pulling out your wallet compared to the billions of dollars Iran is making by selling its oil. There was a question raised as Mike Johnson was then appearing on NBC Meet the Press over the weekend, raised by the anchor when he says we need to do more. They want to see just how far you're willing to go.
We need to put big-time pressure, maximum pressure, on their oil exports. There's a lot that we could do to Iran to send a message instead of this appeasement strategy. It's just simply
including strikes, Mr. Speaker, including strikes, just to be clear?
It should not be off the table. Let me give you just a quick example. You know, in the Trump administration, we used a drone and three missiles to take out Qasem Soleimani near Baghdad. That sent a strong message, and it quelled all of the activity there. What we're doing right now, we're using potentially hundreds of munitions to strike close to 100 targets so far, but we're not going right to the heart of the matter.
The heart of the matter being Iran. Now, we've had several guests here, and you've heard them elsewhere, say we are going to have to deal with Iran and make it clear to them. And part of it goes back to what Reagan did. He sank a lot of their ships. They shut down a lot of their activities. Retired General Jack King says you got to go into Iran. Fred Flights has served 25 years in intel. When he appears on this program, he said, I'm not ready to do that. I'm not ready to do it also until the president presents the case to Congress. U.S. Secretary of State Blinken is currently in Saudi Arabia. This is the first of his latest stop in the Middle East, trying to advance the Israeli-Hamas hostage deal. Many are saying these strikes on the Houthis might deter any more hostages being released. Blinken and almost everyone else involved says, no, that has nothing to do with it. Well, everything's tied together over there. I don't know how they can say it doesn't. But he is sending down the crown prince discussing regional coordination on ending the war in Gaza. Good luck with that. And the Houthis have already said, you're hitting us, you be ready because we will not let the attacks on us go unanswered. Doesn't look like things are cooling down, does it? You need to keep all that region and our troops and Americans in the region in your prayers. Coming up, a closer look at that Senate border bill. Senator Chuck Schumer claims that Republicans, this would be funny except it's not, claims that Republicans are playing politics and they really want the border open. Where the hell does he get that idea? Joe Biden, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on. There's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield has some great events coming up this month. Here's one to mark on your calendar. Feb 15, Scott Biancardi from STL Cigars will be hand-rolling smokes right there in front of you. Feb 15, plus Stolock whiskey tasting, all happening at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. I'm often in for a smoke. If I'm there, make a point to introduce yourself. And for more events, follow Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I know that you worked very closely with Leader McConnell on this bill, now that we see what's in it, seems to be as bipartisan as it gets. Why wouldn't both sides really want this to go through?
Well, it's a great question, Mika. Look, it took a long time, 4 months of arduous negotiations. They fell off the tracks a whole bunch of times. I had to be on the phone even at midnight saying, we got to keep going. Why? We're at a turning point in America. This bill is crucial, and history will look back on it and say, did America fail itself?
Yes. When we look back, based on this bill, we have failed ourselves. But there was Chuckie Schumer saying, I've worked hard on this. Sometimes I'm on the phone at midnight ordering pizza and beer. I mean, dealing with the negotiators. He wants you to believe he's poured his heart and his soul and his, not his blood, Americans' blood, into this deal, the border deal, which they were working in secret forever and lying about what was going to be in it. And Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, says secrecy, lies, broken promises. He said, even while refusing to let us see the bill they claimed to be negotiating on our behalf for months, they were never in doubt, insisting would be dumb and even unpatriotic not to support it. That's what he posted on Twitter. He said, this is a disqualifying betrayal. He went on to say, we need new GOP leadership in the Senate, and we need it now. I would say we needed it yesterday, the day before, 3-4 years ago. Of course, Mitch McConnell has a lot at stake here. He's facing one of the toughest challenges of his career this week, according to the way it's written by The Hill. See, he's got to muster Senate Republicans to vote for this border security package that Trump and many Republicans said it does nothing to help our security. And I'll explain why in a moment. But McConnell's initial goal, according to Senate GOP colleagues, to get a border security deal that will have support of at least half of his conference, which numbers 49 members. But, of course, in between, we have all these other things tacked on. I'll give you the numbers and how it's spread out in a moment. But as they point out here, the stakes are high, as they read them, for the 81-year-old Senate Republican leader coming under significant pressure from Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, and other conservative critics to get him to abandon the bill. And he says, I don't think I'm going to get more than 10 GOP votes. But if in the Senate they can get 18 to 25 Senate Republican votes, if they do, I want the name of each and every one of them and put them on a target list. All, I shouldn't have said, some are going to be saying, Larry's talking about killing, assassinating. No, I mean to get them out of office. But if they get between 18 and 25 Senate Republican votes, according to this the Hill publication, then that's going to put the pressure back on Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana, to take up the bill in the House, despite him declaring it will be dead on arrival in the lower chamber. McConnell last week declined whether to say he would favor moving ahead with a bill that had support from only a minority of his conference. And when asked, was it a mistake to link Ukraine aid to border security reform? He said, well, it's certainly been a challenge. It's more than that. It is a roadblock. It's a landmine. You get that out of there, you'd have a lot of things moving forward. Even parts of the bill that I don't like on the border bill. But Schumer's insisting, this is a turning point for America. It's that critical. Well, now I want you to listen as he talks about this bill and listen to where he ranks securing our border.
Why is it crucial? Well, if we don't aid Ukraine, Putin will be walk all over Ukraine. We will lose the war, and we could be fighting in Eastern Europe in a NATO ally in a few years. Americans won't like that. If we don't help Israel defend itself against Hamas, that perpetual war will go on and on and on. If we don't help humanitarian aid to the starving Palestinians in Gaza, hundreds of thousands could starve. And the border.
Oh, and the border. Beginning with Ukraine. Israel, he wanted money for Israel. He said he did. Well, that's included. But, of course, House Speaker Johnson gave him a bill within days of the Hamas attack. $14.5 billion for Israel. But he would not take it as a standalone bill because, hey, there's a good chance here to tie this into Ukraine. $90 billion in foreign aid. Ukraine military aid, $62 billion. Israeli military aid, $15 billion. Another $10 billion for Ukraine, Gaza humanitarian aid. Another $5 billion for our partners in the Indo-Pacific region. And the border bill itself? Well, I'll come back to that in a moment, but first let's go back to Senator Schumer.
And the border, everyone has said it's chaos. A speaker, you just saw Speaker Johnson, he said it's chaos. We have to do something legislative a few months ago. But what has happened, in answer your question, so this is crucial for America. It's a turning point. History is going to look over our shoulders and say, did we rise to the occasion? To his credit, Mitch McConnell did. But too many Republicans, yeah, including Speaker Johnson, are just scared to death of Donald Trump. Donald Trump has said he wants chaos. Donald Trump has said, well, wait till I become president. That'll take at least a year. Ukraine could be gone. The border will get much worse. War in the Middle East will get worse, maybe bringing us into it. He's doing it all for political reasons. And let me just say, will senators, the crucial question, the $64,000 question, the majority of Republican senators know this bill is the right thing to do. It's a compromise. I don't like everything in it. Neither does McConnell. But it's a compromise. That's the only way you get things important done in the Senate. We proved that 2 years ago in our bipartisan legislation. And will the senators drown out the political noise from Trump and his minions and do the right thing for America? It's a crucial question. History is looking down on every one of us right now.
Good. I'm good. I'm glad history's looking at you directly. I want to make it very clear. I don't want the border closed because of Donald Trump. I want it closed because of our nation, our sovereignty, and protection of our citizens. They want to link it to Trump, and therefore, oh, well, see, Trump wants chaos at the border. He doesn't want chaos at the border, neither does Speaker Johnson. But you would have thought you heard it directly from God's mouth as Schumer is talking. It's got to be those Republicans. Senator Speaker Johnson, I should say, Speaker Johnson in the House said, when I did see the bill, it was worse than I expected. Well, Oklahoma Republican Senator Lankford, who's pushing the bill, had this reaction.
I'm a little confused how it's worse than I expected when it builds border wall, expands deportation flights, expands ICE officers, border patrol officers, detention beds, how it creates a faster process for deportation, how it clears up a lot of the long-term issues and loopholes that have existed in the asylum law, and then gives us an emergency authority that stops the chaos right now on the border. So I'm a little confused. I'll have to be able to get with the speaker's team on that to be able to find out what part would be quote-unquote worse than what we had expected based on the actual text, and hopefully they've all had an opportunity to be able to actually read through the text.
I have a lot of friends, even relatives, who are Okies, but I've never heard one sound that stupid, Senator Lankford of Oklahoma. This bill, you're talking about, it does all this and gives us emergency power. You don't need emergency power. You've got it available now. You just won't act on it, or at least this administration won't. And he mentioned some things about various deals it's going to create. I'm going to, in the next segment, give you more, even more minute details on it. But for right now, in response to Speaker Johnson saying it's worse than expected because of everything it's going to be providing and what it's not doing, and then you've got the GOP Oklahoma Senator Lankford said, well, I don't know why he's surprised. It's doing all of this and doing that. It is a dog and pony show run amok. And according to Morning Joe, it is a tough bill.
Senator Lankford, Jonathan Lemire, obviously has good reason to be confused because this is the toughest border bill in a generation. If you had read any of that to us a year or two ago, we would all say, oh, yeah, that's the Republican wish list. You go down it, it's a Republican wish list. And now just because Mike is being told by Donald not to pass this bill, to continue to allow fentanyl to flood into the country, continue to allow illegal immigrants to flood into this country, what do we have? We have a situation where they want to keep the border open because it's bad for America, and they believe what's bad for America is good for Donald Trump.
He is 180 degrees from Republican viewpoint, conservatives, patriots. He's on a different planet. And the very fact that Speaker Johnson is calling this out, well, here comes Morning Joe serving as a pastor lecturing morals.
The House Republican leadership say they won't bring the bill up for a vote, with Speaker Mike Johnson saying it's even worse than expected.
That's not just a lie. And I'd love to know what Bible he's looking at when he says he lives by the Bible, because it's bizarre that this guy is worshiping at the feet of Donald Trump. Basically does whatever Donald Trump tells him to do.
Look, I don't know what Trump has told him or not told him. Johnson says, I'm not doing this simply because Trump told me. I don't know what's fact or not. Neither does Joe. But the fact that he says, well, I'd like to know what Bible he's reading because he just told a lie. You want to go down that road, Joe? You really want to go down that road? And the point being, Joe was saying, everybody would have loved this bill if it's 3 or 4 years ago. Unless it shuts the border, I don't like any part of it. And there's nothing in here that shuts the border. And in fact, it authorizes more illegals to come. I'll break it down for you. It's not going to be a pretty picture. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, we got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation. Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And it's Bear, Bear, Leroy Brown, the baddest man in the whole damn town. Better than old King Kong, meaner than a junk.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so let me break down some more of this for you and give you some details on what this border bill has inside of it. I told you about the money. I'll run quickly over that again. This is a $90 billion in foreign aid. It's supposed to be a border bill, but like most pieces of legislation that have a good start, they end up being hobbled together with various amendments, pork, things of that nature that really ruin the final product. And in fact, may not deliver the final product at all, which is where we are with this border bill. $90 billion in foreign aid, Ukraine military aid, $62 billion, Israeli military aid, $15 billion, Ukraine-Gaza humanitarian aid, another $10 billion, and $5 billion for partners in the Indo-Pacific region. That's just the money. Now, the other issue with this bill, when they say it's the best border bill ever, no. It will give, or I should say it grants, the president and Department of Homeland Security secretary authority to shut down the border. They don't need authority with this bill to shut it down. They already have that authority. Even Obama said, as did Bill Clinton, we are a nation of immigrants, but you still have to come here legally. So those two, they're on the wrong side of this issue for the progressives. The new bill granting president and DHS authority to shut down border when the encounters reach 4,000 over a seven-day period, all on the whole southern border, not one particular state, all across the southern border. They're reporting back and forth, I got five here, I got 20 over here, I got 500 here. Well, when we reach 4,000 within a seven-day period, we need to voluntarily shut it down. For how long, it's not clear. Oh, and if it's 5,000 over 7 days, it's mandatory shutdown. That extra 1,000, that was just too much. Or if there's 8,500 in 1 day, it's mandatory it be shut down. This, in other words, is saying you can come in and you can take a seat at the table if you get here that day ahead of where we do the shutdown. If not, You had to wait a little while, but you will get in. And it is continuing to spread in so many different ways. I'm looking at a piece here. How New York City, this is from Epoch Times. I saw this the other day. I'm telling you, I love Mondays, and yet I hate them. I love Monday because I get to get back on the air with information I want to share. But I hate them because I've compiled all kinds of material over the weekend and come to Monday airtime, half of it is not as important as it was. Other stuff has become more important. This is one of the things that would have been dropped through the files again today, but I thought I got to get it in here. In case you missed it, New York City is launching a $53 million program providing prepaid debit cards for illegals. That's right. If you're an illegal, you're going to get a prepaid debit card. You must pledge. I'm only going to use it to buy food. Liquor can be food. And it doesn't say what kind of food anyway. New York City gave this $53 million contract, awarded it. I don't know if there's even bidding on it, to a company called Mobility Capital Finance, MoCalFi, something like that, which will create and distribute the prepaid cards. They're going to be called immediate response cards. And they're going to be delivering the cards to the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City, the first touch point for illegals arriving in the city, and they'll hand them out directly to asylum seekers receiving financial assistance. Now, the first will be going to families with children under the care of the New York City Housing Preservation Development Agency. Good, I'm glad they're taking care of the kids, but they're taking care of illegals who have the kids, not legal New Yorkers, Americans, who need money to pay food for their children. Is there anything there that sounds, this is a good idea? I'm glad you asked that, Larry. The answer is not just no, but hell no. My boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago, stretching his reach beyond Chicago. We know what's been happening in Chicago, Boston, New York, and other major airports. They've put a lot of illegals inside what, a little cube area. I don't want you to think of a cubicle, but maybe one wing or an area that they make it look like it's marked off, or construction might be underway, so you can't enter. But you hear noise back there, and if you went back, you're going to find a lot of illegals are gathering. In fact, one representative of one of those cities took a camera into his airport and found them, and he said, well, who are they? He said, well, these are documented migrants. That's a fancy word for these are illegals that we're letting stay at the airport. And we'll put them on flights and send them wherever they want to go. Who's paying for it? Ah, you know you do. You do that. Then they said, well, you can't really get pictures here. You're not allowed to. Well, what's wrong with it? If there's nothing to be hidden, why are you hiding it? And we had talked about this when all of this issue first began. I was telling you, let's stop and think. We're talking about, during the Trump years, I was telling you, in Phoenix, Arizona, there was a Holiday Inn or something like that that had been shut down to the public. It was suddenly a refuge spot for illegals who made their way to Phoenix. They were all keeping them there. Now, one of these non-government organizations probably paying for it through government dollars, which, again, are your dollars. Well, my boots on the ground correspondent Chicago said, found this up in Massachusetts, and here's the way this reads. Your local Days Inn or Motel 6 or Comfort Inn, not so long ago, moderately priced places for grandparents to stay when they return for junior's high school graduation. Maybe even an ill-advised, late-night, low-rent romance. See, that's all in the past now. The businessmen's and no-tell motels have been commandeered in the greater cause of Obama's fondest dream, the fundamental transformation of America into a third-world hellhole. This was published. Let me get the source on this thing because I want to make sure I have it for you. It's an opinion piece, opinion columns, written by someone named Howie Carr with the Media News Group. And he's talking about everywhere these motels are being turned over to the state and its NGO proxies. They are rebranded, if you will, into flop houses for migrants who are now enjoying permanent all-expenses-paid vacations at your expense. They originally had a sign-up hotel closed to public. And then they took that down and put up another sign, a little smaller. Hotel is currently closed, but it's really not. It's just filled with illegals. There's an interesting story presented regarding why Republicans are getting in line to sign off on this border bill. It's a column piece written for Politico. Now, Politico leans left. The title is Why the Border Deal Happened, talking about in the Senate. Republicans held Europe for ransom. Adding Europeans supporting aid to Ukraine get a brutal lesson in how American politics is hampering the transatlantic security relationship. It goes on to talk about that last week, last Thursday afternoon, or a recent Thursday afternoon, several hardline members of the House were listening to the former Danish prime minister emphasizing his small government values. He said, we restricted migration. We held down taxes. He said, I'm sure that's something all of you Freedom Caucus members would like. Restrict migration, hold down taxes. Congressman Ken Buck of Colorado helped convene the meeting, saying he was trying to draw parallels with Republican ideology. And then he got to his real agenda, and that was a passionate appeal for helping Ukraine. Congressman Greg Murphy in North Carolina, a 60-year-old urologist by training, according to the article, was the most direct voice in the room when it came to pushback. In his raw political calculus in unperfumed terms, he basically said, no, we're not going to do that. But they did. They've been locked into this. So this is what Schumer's trying to say. Look, if we don't get this money to Ukraine, Russia will conquer the world. Well, I don't want Russia to do that. But if you're that concerned about it and you want more votes and support for money for Ukraine, how about you start first with a clean border bill, shut the border down? I don't mean say, well, now we have a law by which we can shut it. You have the laws already. You've got the laws that you can do it. Why aren't you doing it? Well, because it does not fit what you want to happen. And they want to turn around and claim that it's because Republicans and Trump want chaos at the border and we want the border open. Have you ever heard me? Have you ever one time heard me say, I'd really like to have an open border or no border at all? Nope. Because that's not what we want. You do not have a country if you don't have a border. It is that simple. And yet, we just continue to have things like this happen. We just can't seem to get around ourselves. All right, let me turn the corner onto something else, and let's look at your kids, those that are trying to get into college. What's the difficulty? Well, in some colleges and universities, they have dropped the SATs, the SAT test, or the ACT test. But against that background comes this story, even as reported by the New York Times in my Good Morning slap in the face, Larry. Good morning. They actually stated Dartmouth College announced this morning it would again require applicants to submit standardized test scores starting next year. And the article continues, it's a significant development because other selective colleges are now deciding whether to do so. And they talked to a cognitive scientist who had previously run Barnard College in New York, then became president of Dartmouth. And after she arrived, she asked a few Dartmouth professors to do an internal study on standardized tests. With the pandemic over, students again able to take the test. She was thinking about reinstating it. And she said, our business is looking at data and research and understanding the implications of not requiring a SAT test or an ACT. Test scores were a better predictor than high school grades, our student essays, our teacher recommendation. A second finding even more surprising. During the pandemic, Dartmouth switched to a test optional policy in which applicants can choose whether to submit SAT and ACT scores. Well, that was harming lower income applicants in a specific way. So now they're saying we were holding back test scores that might have helped some of these kids get into Dartmouth. I sent that on to my oldest daughter. She has my first grandson. And he is now looking at colleges and universities. They were up in the Northeast the other day, and I kept saying, look around, but don't plan on staying there. I would be against it, but it'll be your decision. He looked at Yale. Could have some value, but he looked at UConn and some others. And then this last weekend, they were down in Texas. He went to UT against my warning. It's not going to be what you expect it to be anymore. And then he also was looking at SMU, TCU, things of that nature. Now, if they're going to start looking at how they're going to deal with these students and their test grades, you need to keep something else in mind. And again, I had to give the credit for finding it because I've got so many things I can't keep up with to my boots on the ground in Chicago, Andrew. He sent me this piece from academia called The College Fix on Breaking Campus News. Oregon University will no longer give D-minus and F grades. Yep. Western Oregon leaders announcing, we will abolish D-minus and F grades. We'll replace them with no credit. That should make the students feel better, don't you think? You flunked the course, or you darn near did. You might as well put, forget it. Forget about it. They do say if you don't earn a passing grade, you'll be required to repeat it. Yeah, how good is that going to work? To that extent, Andrew also said with that, and then the Dartmouth coming up saying, convinced by the data, we need to reinstate these tests. Andrew wrote, and he said, I agree. He said, I agree with him is what I'm saying. He said, I was surprised to see that 79% of the grades given at Yale and Harvard were A's. Well, if you're going to drop D's and F's, you're going to start requiring SAT tests. He said it certainly devalues all these educations. In other words, those A's don't stand for perfect and excellence. They stand for the first letter of an, the next word, an idiot, because you actually went to the trouble to study. You're an idiot. Huh. I added that, not him. As always, I appreciate you listening. Spread the word to others, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.